listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show with Dr. Pat Allen. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We are so fortunate to have Dr. Pat and staff, myself, Patricia Eltage, and Kelly Ward, are available tonight to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter the number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you about our sponsor, the Wan Institute. The Wan Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Wan training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding the monthly ladies groups and private services, please email me at the office at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com, or call the office at 949-723-0338. Before we take your questions, we have Dr. Pat available to talk regarding her teachings. Please enlighten the audience,
Dr. Pat.
Now
we're going to make our chosen commitment. For all of you out there, whether you're driving in a car, for heaven's sakes, don't take both hands off. I only need one finger, actually. I want you to take a pledge. But before you take the pledge, I want you to decide right now, do you rather have your thoughts respected by your intimate partner, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's a straight relationship or gay or lesbian? Would you rather have your thoughts respected or your feelings cherished? Or the reverse, would you rather have your feelings cherished or your thoughts respected? For those of you who have chosen the feminine, the anima in a woman, or the receptive, available, and respect the giver person, here's what your pledge is. I promise, on my honor, to respect the male person I'm with that I have chosen to follow, even when I know I'm smarter and I know I could do it better. So help me God, please. Now, for those of you who wish to have your thoughts respected more than you want your feelings cherished, I have a pledge for you. Now, don't take both hands off. I only need one. Put the phone down. Let's get with it. Put your hand up, or at least one finger. I promise, on my honor, to cherish the feminine person I'm with, whether it's a man or a woman, even when they're illogical, irrational, and often irritating. So help me God, please. You may recall a little earlier, I was talking about grandpa wants to be cherished, whereas dad wants to be respected, and grandma wants to be respected while mom wants to be cherished. I want to talk now about how age causes a change in energy. If you realize that we are all hormonal creatures, we women run, when we're young especially, on a hormone called estrogen. I call it the roller coaster of hormones. I absolutely know that God has to be a comedian to create estrogen. Women have it when they're young, but men have it. It starts to impact a man when he's older. Interestingly enough, the opposite happens for a woman. When we're younger and on estrogen, we then go into a progesterone system that causes us to become and be more comfortable with being respectable. Nature inadvertently sets reality up so that there are old women to drive their son-in-laws crazy, raising kids who their wives are just dingy over. So nature is a very clever comedian in that older women and younger men, both wanting respect, often come together and do great business. They often marry to do business. If you've seen a relationship between an older woman in today's plastic surgery world, old women aren't old women anymore. So for those relationships in which both people take a lot of comfort in making the world move and shake, she may have the experience and the money and the backing to set this wonderful young stud up in his business, and they go about their life. The problem, as we know, is as her clock is ticking, she's really not very able, although geriatric fertility is becoming the rage. She's not as able to reproduce for him. But if he's not that interested in reproducing, they often form a very tough, powerful relationship. On the other hand, why do older men go with younger women? Because they're both cherishable. You see, as a man and a woman grow older and we switch from one side to the other, he used to be him and she used to be her, but now he is now melting into her and she is now power building into him. That's nature switching us hormonally. The bridge changes. And with that, very often, the wife who ages with her husband does not realize that she still has to pretend that he's king of the hill. You know, I often say, remember how grandma talks about grandpa? She goes, you know him, and she rolls her eyes, but she loves him, and she would kill anybody that would hurt his feelings. But she's learned to remember how it was to respect him when he was a young stud. And because she takes care of his feelings when he gets older, he stays alive. Older men don't flourish in a hostile environment. They need to be cherished like flowers, just as young women don't flourish in a hostile environment. They need to be cherished as well. So very often, disrespectful women drive their husbands as they age into the arms of a young woman who goes, oh, you big, strong man, you're just what I need. Now, as she gets older, she'll also become masculine, but he's going to have a lot of fun between here and there. So age does cause an energy change. Old men need to be with old women who remember that they're still men, even when it's not really true. And older men need to remember that their wives who worked with them and built with them and bore the babies with them, even though she's not Miss Hardbody, if she's still a respecting woman, take heed, that young woman may be more than you can handle.
Well, Dr. Pat, thank you. We'll hear back from you again very soon. And it's always great to review Dr. Pat's teaching, isn't it, Kelly?
It's wonderful. She's amazing.
Right. So until we get a caller, and callers do call in, the number is 323-203-0815. But in the meantime, there you go. Here we have someone, Kelly. Hello.
Hey, yes, caller. You do. Hi. Hello, ladies.
What can we do for you?
Okay, I met a gentleman online, and we had our first date on March 1st. It was a nice dinner date. He took me out to dinner. There was a lot of chemistry, And then, like, maybe 4 days later, after a few text scenes, I said, why don't you come over to my house for dinner? Probably a little premature to do that, but I'm in my 50s, so kind of know what I want. And we had, prior to that dinner date, we had a 2-hour FaceTime like date. Like I always FaceTime my guys before I get in my car and meet them somewhere, especially, you know, when you're meeting guys online.
Good.
So dinner date was great, great chemistry. And during the dinner date, kind of mentioning cleaning up his baggage with an ex-girlfriend. And I don't have any exes right now. I've been single a long time. So I just listened. Didn't really think, read into it too much. He felt very masculine. He's in a really productive job right now that he's working really hard at. And he was very proud of himself for that. And I complimented him and was like, great job. You're doing awesome. And then let's see. So we went out to the Mexican restaurant. And then a week later, I had him over for tacos at my house. And we just have a really natural communication, just really nice, even flow. But he did bring up the ex-girlfriend again and that she had been kind of crazy and kind of stalking and obviously bonded to him, put a tracker into his car and things like that.
Wow.
But we didn't. Yeah. Wow. We didn't talk about that the whole time. I mean, we were just more talking about like what was going on with me at work and what, you know, hopefully where we're going in the future. But again, a lot of chemistry. So we went up to my bedroom and we were making out and stuff. And so prior to sex intercourse, I had said, whoa, you know, like, wait a minute, like, I don't have a revolving door here. If we're going to go there, I'm like, we have to have the talk. And he laughed. He's like, the talk. I'm like, yeah, we have to have the talk. So this is what I said. And I don't think I said all the right, correct things, but this is what I said. I said, I'm a monogamous person. If we have sex now, you're going to be the person I'm with. Obviously, we don't know each other that much. This is basically our third date. And he said, well, that's fine. You know, I'm totally okay with that. But he didn't say like, I want you to go off your online dating or anything like that. But he pretty much agreed to the monogamy. I didn't ask for continuity. I'd been getting it. And I didn't go into that I'm looking for mating and marriage. But I think, like, didn't specifically say that, but from the last three dates, I think it's implied like my values and where I'm going. But again, it wasn't very specific. So what I got was monogamy. I didn't get the other two.
Well, darling, there's something here where you weren't specific and you can't take anything implied. There's no implied when it comes to sex. And not only sex, but as to your values and also what you want out of life. And so the whole talk is, this is what I want out of my life, to be in a monogamous, socially and sexually monogamous relationship with a person who we are going, having the same goals of continuity, long-term longevity, and heading towards marriage potentially. And that's it. So there leaves nothing unsaid. So he just kind of went, okay, because you said that you wanted to be, I would be only with this man. But he didn't say it on his part. You said you would be monogamous. Did you hear that, Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he like kind of agreed that like if we were going to have sex.
Oh, he would allow you to be monogamous. But he did not commit to monogamy.
No, he said like, I can do that too.
Okay.
But I mean, it wasn't like explicit. Mine was
go
explicit.
Ahead, Kelly.
He was like, I can do that too.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that might be acceptable, but you still don't have the other elements.
No, I don't have the other two.
How do you feel about that, not having those other elements?
Well, now,
do you like, example,
I definitely made a mistake.
Did he say anything like, this is where I'm heading, or I don't want a commitment, or I do want a commitment, anything like that at all that might have cued you in on where his mind was?
Yeah, because I said something like, you know, I know this is really happening quickly, you know, we're both still online dating. And he said, oh, well, he's like, the kind of like, It was something like, the buck stops here. You're amazing. Like, why would I even need, I don't even want to be online dating. Like, that was what he said. But then, yeah, that was nice. And so the next couple of days, good communication on text. And then we were setting up the next date and he was going to come to me again. We weren't sure what we were going to do. I didn't care. And then he late at night said, you know, I have to ask, like, you have your life so together. I don't feel like I have enough to offer you. What are you really seeing in me? You could have anybody. And I just wrote back, wow, I just totally respect all that you do at your work and how committed you are to it. And also, when he came over for tacos, my dryer wasn't working. He spent an hour and 45 minutes fixing my dryer, like
that's
before
giving.
We even ate.
That's nice. Giving and cherishing. Yes.
Yeah, and it was not easy. The guy was sweating. We had to take off a door. Like, I didn't expect him to do that, but he just wanted to take care of it. Yeah, and then before he left, I told him I was walking my dog, and there was a coyote, so he gave me, like, a cow taser out of his car. He's like, you need to walk your dog with this cow. You know, so he's definitely doing the protecting thing. But then was that sort of, I don't deserve you text, and, oh, I didn't like that, and I said, I'm from a higher socioeconomic status than him, a higher educational status than him. I'm a little bit older. He's like 43. I'm 55. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely more world experience than me. I'm more like traveled experience. But anyway, so I just encouraged him. I said, well, these are all the things I really like about you. And this is why I like you. And then he was set to come over the next Friday night. So that would have been last week. So we're talking right around March 14th. And so he did come over. He came over late. And I said, are you on your way? And he said, I had a death. I'm on my way, though. And I said, oh. And I really am holding back my masculine. I hadn't reread the book, but I remembered from like 8 years ago how I can get so into the masculine and leave.
Well, the book she's talking about is Getting to I Do, for those listening.
Yes.
And it's Dr. Pat's... Yes. Go-to book for how to get into healthy relationships, long-lasting relationships. Go ahead.
So I kind of did that almost mothering thing, like, oh, you know, gosh, how do you feel? You know, you had a death. He's like, no, I'm not going to let this ruin my night. I'm on my way. So he came over, and we had another great night, and more came up the next morning. We hung out the whole next day. We went to lunch. It was nice. And again, just talking about how he wants to build his life and work. And I just really hard for me to just not talk and let him talk about that. So, but then the ex-girlfriend kind of came up again that something about, she manipulated the ex-wife to get his 10-year-old son to play with her. She has three boys to play with her. And so that threw him for a whole loop. And he still got some of his stuff at her house. He's made it very clear that he's done with this woman. It's not what he wants. They had a lot of chemistry, but it was, she did a lot of drugs. So, up all night, like having sex and just not healthy. He knows it wasn't healthy. So he was supposed to come back that next. So he went home to get some rims for his, like Amazon was dropping off some rims, and he said he'd be back that night. And he said, actually, I can't come back. I have to sign for these rims. I have to be here when you. And I said, no problem. And I said, well, hope to hear from you. I've got a pickleball tournament Saturday, so look forward to talking to you later. I have not heard from him since. So now it's been 2 weeks. And I heard from her. So, okay, when I didn't hear from him the next 2 days, what did I do? I went through all my old Pat Allen notes. I went to her website. I went to the board work. I've listened to probably instead of, because, you know, I've got this oxytocin built up in me now. I almost feel like addicted to him. Obviously this happened really quickly. I don't know if we have complete compatibility yet, but I'm bonded to him. He hasn't called me the first week. He didn't call. And then I'm reading all this stuff about the 8 weeks. So I'm like, okay, I cannot be the masculine. I do not want to be the masculine. I am not going to do that this time. I'm going to sit on my hands, not text, not call. And it's really, I'm in sales. I'm a realtor. Like, I reach out to people. I'm super aggressive at work. I'm the masculine. So this has been the big.
This is, so darling, you're in your 8-week period, and you jumped in the sack kind of quickly because you didn't find out enough about his lifestyle, mm-hmm. what he had to offer in your life. You liked his energy. And even though he made a verbal commitment to having sex, actually, when you're, that's kind of a tough time to do it when you're actually a man's about to enter the cavern of love.
Oh, yeah. I was right on the spot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we talk about these things up front, what our goals are, what our standards are. And we get to know people by going dancing or going to do sports or movies, or the old way of courting before you jump in the sack is a way to get to know somebody to see if they are going to be compatible, because then you risk what happened to you. You got bonded and now you're in the 8-week nail biting, knuckle clenching period.
Exactly. So my question is, this girl who, because I'm a realtor, so she went to Facebook, she found my page, it's very public, and she found my
Who's
phone number,
she?
And she texted
Who's
me.
Who's she?
The ex-girlfriend that he
so
still
what
has
happened?
Stuff in her
she
attic.
Texted you? She texted you?
Yeah. So
how did she know
I
your
haven't
name?
Heard. I guess he told her my name.
After you started, he went, so in other words, he had communicated with her further after he was with you.
He told me, I think I might need to take a couple steps back with you because I still have stuff in her attic. She manipulated
my ex-wife. See, we
didn't
find out all this stuff before we jumped in the sack with him.
No, we didn't. Nope. Shame on me. Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
So my question is, so the girlfriend says, like, to me, I don't know what happened. I know you met this gentleman. I want you to stop talking to him. We're still boyfriend, girlfriend. Anyway, she just like laid into me. I ignored it. Why did
she do that? Ignore it? Because she's bonded too.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two women bonded to him through sex.
Mm-hmm. And he also mentioned that she was, you know, freaky deaky stalker tracking him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she did. Oh, yeah.
You were flagged. You were flagged on that one, dear.
Mm-hmm. And then, so it's now, so tomorrow, Friday, will be 2 weeks. And so I just wait the 8 weeks.
And then it starts over as if you're just dating again. There's no more, you don't have sex again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No. And if he doesn't call you within 6 more weeks, then it starts from scratch.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And so the other thing you need to do is now that this woman has contacted you and you're obviously you said you're a realtor, so you're out there in the public all the time. You got to advertise, you got to market. So she has many ways to access your data and information.
She's crazy, by the way.
I would recommend that you be extra careful and diligent when you're going to and from your house.
Oh, yeah. She lives 4 hours away.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't make any difference for somebody who stalks somebody.
Right on, Kelly.
So in my other life, I'm a private investigator. So
Kelly knows this stuff.
Yeah.
So that being said, we are right back to square one with you. Well, we'll see if he comes back and wants to be with you, but you'd have to clean that whole thing up with the ex before you have sex with him again. That's between you and he. He would have to say, I'm completely out of her place. I just want to be with you and you alone. And you may find somebody else in between. So,
and I would highly recommend you start duty dating. And when I say dating, it's just lunch with Bill, a movie with Fred, and dinner with Bob, but nothing more. Just that. No hugging, no kissing, no loving every minute of it. Just, you know, keep it
occupy
very,
yourself energy.
Yeah. So I've done that this last 2 weeks. I just went back online and people I wouldn't normally even go on a date with, I'm communicating with because I listened to all your all the replays of this Thursday group. And it was like, you got to go out with the boring guys and give them a chance and give them three times, because I do go out and date more like not duty date, more like with a plan and with, are they going to perform? And so that's that, again, that masculine side of me. So I'm learning to be conscious of that. And so, but it's really hard. Like duty dating is just like, oh my God.
Well,
it is really, this is, but you know what? It's this a, is where it's a skill we learn, and there's a purpose behind it. And, you know, sometimes you give the boring guy a chance and you find out he's not just really boring. He's actually stable.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it depends on if you're looking for that whirlwind passion, or if you're looking for somebody that you can sit on the porch, hold hands and watch the sunset with. And when you wake up in the morning, you're snuggling. It's, you know, it's a different dynamic. And, you know,
yeah, I definitely don't want chaos. For me?
Yeah, you're allowed to be the masculine energy if you want to be. You don't have to be the feminine. You just have to find
somebody. No, in the relationship with the man, I want to be the, so, my question is, if you were raised as an only daughter, so my second question is, if you're raised as an only daughter, and your dad, even today, like, he was like, asked me all about performance, and my mom got on the phone, she asked me all about performance.
You were raised to be a boy, but okay.
Yeah. So, and then this whole norepinephrine. So this gentleman creates a little, you know, he's created a little chaos, and that's a little exciting, right? That's a lot of pain. That's energy. I don't want the chaos. So how do I slowly titrate myself off of, I don't want to be addicted to norepinephrine. I'm afraid that might be slightly.
Well, this is what we do. We sit the wait weeks out, what Kelly just said. You get out there and entertain yourself with girlfriends or other dates. Go to the movies. Go play pickleball. You occupy yourself. There's nothing you can do once you get bonded with somebody. It doesn't go away that fast. You can't speed that process up. You just occupy yourself until somebody new comes along. But that's why it's this wonderful lesson for those out there listening, what happens, and it's painful. This caller here is experiencing a painful lesson from having sex too soon. And she got a quick, oh, yes, oh, sure, right in the midst. Of course, a lot of guys will say it right so they can, when they're upon entry, when they're like an inch from entering. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You need to let a man know your standards up front before you're naked.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I have no problem communicating contracts. So, I mean, I think I just.
You are horny, dear.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But I don't know why. We talked about so many things. We had hours of just sitting on the couch. So I don't know why I didn't just talk about my standards. I'm like, I'm over 50. Like, I know what I want.
Okay. Now this is your lesson. Next time you will, from this lesson, you will not repeat this lesson. That's the beauty of taking it as a lesson.
Yeah. Sometimes pain is the best lesson you ever get, because it really is a reminder. Uh-oh, don't do that again. It's like when the baby walks over and you say, don't touch the stove, it's hot. And then they reach out and they touch the stove. Oh, I told you it was hot. You know, sometimes that pain, man, you walk back over to that stove and you go, oh, is that thing hot right now? I don't know. You know, it's just pain can sometimes be the greatest teacher. It's not a pleasant teacher.
We learn from pain. We don't learn in the good times. We can cruise in the good times, but when we are in a painful lesson, that's when we're actually growing. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and so also I wanted to screenshot him, what she was saying to me, and send it to him, but I didn't.
No. Okay. That's it. We're going to have some other callers calling in too, but we really appreciate this call. It's wonderful for you to share this with all the listeners out there, because this is a beautiful experience to share. So keep us posted.
You're
calling again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Call back.
Thank you both.
Be back.
Thank you, girl. Ladies.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
So those lessons, Kelly, as you said, pain is a great growth vector. So we're ready for some more callers.
And
the number is 323. Is there one in now?
Yeah, caller, you're live on the air. Do you have a question?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Hi. Hello, Kelly. Hi, Patricia. Thanks for taking my call. I was a lady that you helped out last week in regard to me paying for the gentleman's Airbnb, and he paid me the money into my account, which was great. And yeah, that was very much empowering, self-loving. So thank you very much for that. He's actually here with me in the country now. He's not in my apartment. He's in the Airbnb.
Good.
And
so that worked out.
We're having a great time. There's definitely chemistry, communication, the compatibility, not absolutely 100% sure it's there. Yet we've seen each other every day and it's been great. And I've done exactly what you suggested, enjoy each other's company, which I'm doing. Financially, we are not compatible in a sense that I'm financially solvent, he not so much. But he is cherishing me as much as he can. That allows him to be financially. And when I say cherishing, he's paying for the meals, buying me things. He bought me a ring. He bought me a very nice necklace. And the day one, I made it very clear that I'm looking for a monogamous, long-term, committed relationship that's leading to marriage. And he said, "You've got my promise. There's no two ways about it. That's exactly what I want." We were then having dinner on day one. Yes, it was good. It was good. So day one, he then said to me, "I have something to tell you, though. I've been separated from my wife for 12 years, but we haven't actually gone to the paperwork to get divorced."
Oh, jeez.
So,
it can be quite pricey, very spendy to do it, and it can be very, very financially devastating.
Exactly. And considering his financial situation. So I'm still sitting pretty in a sense that I have not slept with him. I haven't had intercourse. So therefore, to me, I'm still kind of like, maybe I should start dating two other men. That's what's in the back of my mind. Obviously, I have not said that to him.
So you haven't gotten bonded by the short hairs yet. Okay,
correct.
That's good. So
correct.
You can still think correct. About this rationally.
So
okay.
Absolutely. So I'm still sitting pretty on my throne, not troubled by the whole thing, because I'm thinking rationally and also looking at it from a perspective, okay, let's just see where this pans out. I've not committed to him, as I say, not had intercourse. I'm not bonded. So I'm thinking rationally and not emotionally. He then said to me, the reason why I'm ringing, because everything seems fine, is because he seems very obsessed. He's constantly telling me, "Really love you. Every minute I look at you, I'm just falling in love. I'm really happy. I've never been in this situation." He's not actually been in a relationship for 10 years. So the two of us meeting like this for him is like, once in a blue moon opportunity. And he's right. I feel the same way. However, I'm kind of like, stop telling me now. Kind of, I'm at that point.
And you it sounds to me like you are his, what he's looking for. It could be a great deal for him. He doesn't have to spend the money on a divorce. He can have a lover, and it could be a good deal for him because you're financially independent. And you just have to decide if that's what you want, if he's enough.
Yeah. And I guess it's in waves for me because he's slightly overweight. And then I look at him sometimes and I think, oh, my God, he needs to lose weight. And he did say to me, "For you, I think now I have an incentive to do something about my physique. I will start losing weight." And in my mind, I was thinking, why don't you just do that for yourself? anyway, if you know that you're a little bit chubby, speak for yourself. But I think, yeah, you're probably right. He's probably looking at me and thinking, she doesn't need me to, you know, physically, she doesn't need to be secure financially by him because I am quite independent. But then I thought, maybe that is exactly what I do want. I do want someone who can support me, if you know what I mean. I can feel secure financially with someone like my husband. And I don't want him to look to me to support him, or you know, for a
he may be, you need to figure this out with him if yes. That's the deal. If you would be the primary breadwinner, not that that's a bad thing, that can be okay if you're okay with it, that you make more than he does, and you're okay with being the primary breadwinner. So that's something you have to do soul searching about. We can't tell you what's right in that department.
Yeah. Okay. I think for me, it's just the obsession. It sounds like he's just constantly. And then I say to myself, when I come home and I sit down and think about it, and I'm like, Alison, what's so wrong with someone telling you so much that they love you? I said, are you never satisfied? Because as women, now you have someone who's telling you that he loves you and he's committed. Then we kind of like, oh, I don't want it.
You're second guessing it. You're second guessing it. I understand. And you're second guessing it. So because you have the back of your mind in you're thinking, well, he's looking at you as the purse.
I'm your ticket. You feel like he's love bombing you?
Yes.
Is it too much love talk?
Yes.
So you feel love bombed. You feel like you're being sort of grifted.
Yes. Yeah, he's bombing me with these, you know, I've never seen anyone so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm thinking, just stop. I haven't said that to him, but I'm just like, this is so obsessive. It's too much for me.
Do you have a fear of commitment in some way yourself from past experience?
Oh my God. Oh, maybe. Mm. Maybe.
Yeah. So maybe. It's something to look into also, because you just need to know him more and still date. You haven't had sex with him. So date other people, and he's one of your suitors. Let him be a suitor.
Yeah.
You aren't committed. The ring he gave you is just a gift. It's not a promise ring, is it?
No. He did say he promises that, but he's not that promise with, oh, this ring is a promise ring. No.
This ring that we're like committed, that. Monogamous, no, and right. All that. No. Okay. You should be out there dating so you don't get too bonded to him without further investigation. What do you think, Kelly?
Right. Because Dr. Pat says, one is too few, two is 50-50, three gives you an option to really analyze what your feelings are, first of all. Second of all, if you feel like you're being love-bombed, maybe you are. I would date other people, and my theory is this. Out of the three, let the best man win. But, you know, it's three men, three dates. If you don't have chemistry, compatibility, and you're not heading in the same direction, you gently say, hey, listen. I don't want to use you. I've had great times. We could be friends, but there's no chemistry there. Thank you so much for all your dates, and it's been great. You know, but the thing is when we go out and we do date, we do explore how we feel about somebody that we're dating that maybe we have a stronger thing with. We find out, well, I was just lonely, or, you know, this guy is the I miss him. So, you know, it's good. I know a lot of people perceive it as bad, and some people perceive it as old fashioned. I personally think it's research.
Yeah, it's due diligence. You're in due diligence. Come on, get a couple people out there and call us back.
Yeah, I will do. I really appreciate the advice, ladies. And it's the love bombing. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's the love bombing. I just can't do that. So I think
he's not all the way divorced. So he can't really commit to you 100%.
He could be a lover.
Yeah,
he could be your lover. Maybe he wants you to be his lover. But if that's not what you want, I'm fine with somebody saying, two people saying, let's just be lovers. But if you want a marriage and a partnership, then that is a marriage, then I personally don't think he wants to get divorced because it will cost him money and he's not in the position to do that.
Correct. And that is probably something he won't be honest with me about that. But I know his financial situation. I know he's the Airbnb, there's a cash flow, you know, that cash flow situation he had there. Mm-hmm. So I know that the fact is there's a cash flow
problem. That was telling. I'm glad we called that out. So yeah. keep us posted. Yeah. Call us back when you have two more dates.
Yes. Really.
Very good.
Thank you very much, Patricia. Thank you very much, Kelly. Take care.
You're very welcome. Bye. Have a great evening. Bye-bye. That's a rough one, you know. That's rough. There's been a lot of that love bombing thing going around, and you know,
but
I think women.
But I don't want men to be afraid to share their affections for women either, because if a man is secure enough to tell a woman that she's gorgeous and he just never felt like this before, it's okay to investigate it, believe it. You can believe it while you're investigating.
Hello.
Oh, hi, the caller. You have a question?
Ladies. Yes, thanks for taking my call. So I have a man, but I'm not sure how to respond to his calls. So last year we met and he actually proposed, and I told him I needed a year of knowing him to just get to know each other. And so we did the whole almost 9 months of him courting me. And
with or without sex? With or without
sex? No sex, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it helped that we live in different cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that it helped to just get to know him. Each other without the sex part.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, after 9 months of him courting me and the good parts were really good, I actually realized I wasn't, that there were some things that I just couldn't let go of.
Mm-hmm.
And those were, you know, he drank more than I felt comfortable with. I felt I had more I'm more financially secure than he is.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't feel that he was doing anything to improve his situation. So if we were to have kids, I just didn't feel like he would contribute. And I don't want to be the only one making the significant financial contribution.
Well, that's important to realize that, because if you plan on having, how old are you now?
I'm 38.
You're 38 and you still want children?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So you did calculate that you would be the primary breadwinner and supporting a family partially. And if you are okay with that, that's okay again. But you have only you know how okay you are. And to what degree?
I don't mind being the one who makes more. What I mm-hmm. do mind is if he's also contributing. And mm-hmm. the 9 months I got to know him, he did not have a job and he just wasn't seeming like doing anything to improve his situation. And
that made you lose respect for him. I want you to hear this.
Yes.
Because when you start to lose respect for a man, you start falling out of love with them.
Right. So yeah. I feel that I've fallen out of love. And, you know, these ones he actually asked me for money. And I told him, you know, if we're going to go down that route, then we would rather just be friends, because it's going to turn me off giving mm-hmm. you money.
Good for you for expressing yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he was like, okay, I'm never going to ask you ever again. And then he did it again.
Okay, well, he can't help it. He's in that's the situation he's in. So now
yeah.
you know.
So
this is This is reality showing you.
So, and after that, you know, I told him, I think, you know, let's just break things. I just don't see us going forward. So then months later, he sends me, or maybe 2 months or so, so about 8 weeks, actually, he sent me a message and he called. He's like, okay, I know I fumbled. It didn't go well, but can we be friends? And I was like, okay, maybe let's see how it works out. So I wasn't calling him. He would reach out every so often. But a few weeks ago, we were having a conversation and he insulted me.
Really?
And I was like, you know what? I'm actually done. I don't want your friendship either. Like, I'm just done. And so since then, he has just been calling. I don't pick up, sending texts. I miss you.
And how did he insult you?
So he was telling me that he had a conversation with one of our old high school friends. So we used to be friends back in the day in high school, and we kind of rekindled a few months, like last year. And he was telling me that his friend told him that apparently his friend had a crush on me. And so like, oh, I don't actually remember who that was. I really don't. I mean, how did I know who had a crush on me? And his response to that was like, wow, well, he remembered you really well, so there must have been something more that you gave him.
Oh, well, that's it. And so you chose not to be his friend just because he said that all you had to say was actually no? Or did you have a fling with the other person that you recall?
No, I didn't.
And all you had to do was say, actually, that isn't the case.
Yeah, I said that, like, okay, that's not the case, but I don't like what you're insinuating.
And well, that's not a reason to off. Well, darling, people have a right to say things that are men do that often. They put their foot in their mouth because they feel jealous, and that means they care. So to not speak to him because he cares so much that he got jealous, and jealousy is a natural reaction when you love somebody or want them. So all you had to do was be factual. Your ego got in the way, which is your masculine side, by the way. So you wanted to punish him for insinuating that you could have had a fling with somebody a zillion years ago.
I didn't even think of it.
Right.
So what's your bottom line? What's your bottom line question? Because we're running out of time.
Oh, my question is, how do you respond how do I respond? He's been calling, texting, I miss you, I want to talk. And I'm just like, I just feel tired and bored dealing with him.
Then it's time for you to tell him, not because to punish him for something he said that was an inference, but you say to him, if you are turned off because it's not going to be right for you, he's not the right financial deal for you, then you say, I really appreciate the time we've spent together. However, I don't think I feel the same way you feel about me, and I don't want to lead you on anymore. That's it. So I want to let you go with love.
Okay.
But you be kind. Give him a golden parachute. Be kind.
Yeah.
Okay. I can do
that. Leave him better than you found him. Leave him better than you found him.
Okay. I will do that. Thanks,
you
please.
Take the higher
and then,
road.
Don't compromise yourself. If you feel that way, and you need to TikTok and move along if you're going to have babies.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you, darling. Good luck.
Very good. So,
all right, Patricia.
We have another caller. I don't see. No, that one left. And we're winding down here. I think I want to thank all the callers who did call in. And we will be back next week and see you. Oh, any last words from you, Kelly?
Well, we will be back next week, Patricia and I. So you got to get a double dose of P and K.
Okay.
And we hope you call back. We love you all very much. We are so happy you were here with us tonight. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. You're amazing.
Very good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.